so glad to have you here with me today for another episode of What the Bible Says About. And today, we are going to be talking about what the Bible says about the Ten Commandments. We are going to be looking in both the Old and the New Testament, and we are going to find out exactly what the Bible says about these Ten Commandments. And we're going to answer some questions that you may have in being part of the New Testament church. We are going to just examine this and see if we can't come up with some applications for these commandments for today. Now, I hope you have your Bibles and your notepads and your pen, because we're going to need it, because there's a lot of Bible involved here. And so we want you to have that ready so you could take good notes, so you can go back and study, so that you can know that you know that you know that you're getting the Word of God and not the Word of man, so that you know that it is faithful and true, that you can follow it. All right. Some people claim that Jesus Christ did away with the Ten Commandments with his sacrifice on the cross. Now, they would argue that they do not need to keep God's law because Christ fulfilled it. Jesus stated in Matthew 19 and 17, and he said unto them, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." So Jesus himself said, you know, if you want everlasting life, then you want to keep the commandments. Now, this is New Testament time. This is Jesus speaking. So he's telling us that the commandments are still for us today. Now, we're going to explore it. We're going to get into it. We're going to see in both the Old and the New Testament, to the Jew, to the Greek, and to the Gentile, these commandments are still true. Now, we need to know straight off the bat that these are commandments. These are not suggestions. So we need to understand that, and we need to have a heart to receive that. Now, speaking of having a heart to receive, I want to pray so that God will have his way and teach. So let me pray for you. Dear Lord, we come before you humbly, asking that you would first forgive us for any sin known or unknown. We confess that we are human beings. We are weak, and we have failed you. We say, please forgive us. Fill us and use us. Guide us as we go into your word, and open our eyes so we might see what you are saying. Open our ears so we might hear what you're saying. Touch our heart and quicken our spirit, so that the words of my mouth will be resonated to the hearers, so that they not be my words but your words. And Lord, that they bypass the ears and go straight into the spirit. And let their spirit give witness to your spirit and your word. And please change lives and honor our time together as we gather together around your word. For you said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I would be in the midst. So we welcome you into our midst, and we say, you are Lord. Teach us guide us, lead us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, there you have it. We have asked, and the Bible tells us if we ask anything in Jesus' name, the Father God hears it, and he will give it. So we're asking for illumination so that he will illuminate the word into our spirit. And I believe if you've come prepared with an open heart, an open mind, and an open Bible, God will speak to you. Now, let's talk a little bit. You're going to be turning in your Bibles to Exodus 20. Exodus 20, that's in the Old Testament. And that's where we find the customary Ten Commandments. And you could stick something in there, bookmark or what have you. And you can also turn to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. That is another copy of the Ten Commandments. So we're going to, you know, do the parallels and show the parallels. And we're also going to take parallels from the New Testament, which I will give you as we go along. So meanwhile, as I read some foundation verses for you, you want to write them down so you can study them and see what the Lord has to say about these verses. All right, Leviticus 22:13. Leviticus 22:13. I'm sorry, Leviticus 22:31. Leviticus 22:31. Therefore, shall ye keep my commandments and do them? I am the Lord. Exodus 34:28. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables and the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 4 and 13. Deuteronomy 4 and 13. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even Ten Commandments. And he wrote them upon two tablets of stone. And then Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And then Revelation 14:12. Revelation 14:12. Keep the commandments of God. Have faith in Christ. So we want to keep the commandment. And we need to have faith as well. That is what some folks call combining the old with the new. Both are important. So both obedience and faith not only can coexist, but they're critical. We have to be obedient to the Lord. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And we have to have faith, because without faith, we cannot please God. Okay? So those are our foundation verses. Now we'll just go one by one and we will do an examination of the Ten Commandments. Are you ready? You got your Bible? You got your notepad? You got your pen? Are you paying attention? Are you prayed up? Are you hungry and thirsty for his word? Good. All right. Exodus 20, verse 2 says, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Now over in Deuteronomy, it says it like this. Deuteronomy 5, verse 6, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Verse 7, you shall have none other gods before me. Okay, that's pretty consistent. Now, you say, well, that's for the Jews. That's old covenant. Well, let's bring it on into the new covenant. How about Matthew 4:10? And you could also see 1 Corinthians 8, verses 4 through 6. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. How about Matthew 22:37? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Matthew 22:38. This is the first and the great commandment. So you see, Jesus taught the commandments himself. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus went through and taught these commandments again. We have a portion of scripture we call the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus went up on the mountain. He gave the sermon we call the Beatitudes, or in those sermons. But he mentioned these commandments in that Sermon on the Mount. Now, that parallels to Moses was called up on the Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. And so, you know, both times that these commandments were given was raised up high on the mountaintop. This is where we get our term mountaintop experiences. So the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. We see it two places in the Old. Let each thing be established by two witnesses. And we see it several places in the New. Now, no other gods before me. We get in big trouble right here in the first commandment, because we are selling out our relationship to God. We are putting other lords above him. And, you know, I just want to preach this one really big and really strong, but let me hold off and get the second commandment in here, because these are going to tie together. And so Exodus 20 verse 4, you shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now over in Deuteronomy, you'll have a similar, you shall, verse 8, you shall not any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord, your God, and a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Okay, so there you go. Now, what about New Testament? Let's see, 1 John 5, verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And then we have Revelation 21, verse 8. But the cowardly and unbelieving and idolaters shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Okay. How about John 4:24? God is a spirit, and they that worship him shall worship him in spirit and in truth. God is not an image, but rather a spirit. We cannot use physical objects, images, or aids, in other words, idols, to worship a spiritual God. Since God is a spirit, his followers must worship him in spirit. Now, let's deal with these two commandments. The first one, of course, is don't have any gods before the Lord. He's the Lord. He's all. That's it. And the second one is like it. You shall have no other gods but me. Now, in today's world, here in the United States, and I'm sure it's different, or, you know, similar but different in other countries. But our churches have accepted certain symbols, and many Christians are led to worship the symbols, it looks like, and rather worship God. They hold these symbols up higher than they hold God. Like your crucifix. Now, Christians don't, what we call a Protestant, don't you get excited and like point the finger, because you hold up the cross, and, you know, sometimes you worship the cross instead of the Christ of the cross. So we don't want to point fingers, but we're saying that you have a crucifix that sometimes people seem tend to worship, you know, with the image of Christ on there. We have the cross, which sometimes people tend to worship, tend to elevate. It seems to look like an idol. We have even the Bible itself, which though we should reverence the word of the Bible because the word is God, but the actual book itself, you know, should not be worshipped as God, because it's not. It's the word of God. And that word, when God breathes in that word, when it becomes the rhema, that is God. So that's a little tightrope that we sometimes get into, and we sometimes look like we might be falling into idolatry. So we don't want to fall into idolatry. Now, the Lord of the church, Christ is Lord of the church. But when you have these state-run churches, and you have these denomination-run churches, sometimes we tend to worship the state and worship the denomination, and we put that above God. You shall have no other gods before me. Sometimes, like in America, we bow down and we give up our lordship of Christ and we accept the lordship of the IRS. Our pulpits become weak, our pulpits become shallow, our pulpits become anemic because we won't preach the gospel, we won't preach what the Bible says because we're afraid we're going to lose our tax-exempt status. Well, the Bible tells us we are non-taxable. That goes way in. The First Amendment tells us in the Constitution that we are non-taxable entities, not tax-exempt entities. If you go the way of the tax-exempt, then you're putting yourselves right there with all the other charities and social gospel. Well, we are not the same when our job is to serve the Lord on high. And we do not want to put other things above that. We do not want to put other things as if it's equal with God. So you want to watch out for that. You might want to look into that 501c3 status and see if it is holding you down. See if it is a noose around your neck. See if it doesn't put you in a situation to where you are becoming a servant to the state, the IRS. There's some mix in there. Now, Christian, you want to love your church. You want to love your pastor. You want to love the people which makes up the church. You want to serve them. But don't forget you're doing all that as unto God. And you don't put them above God. So if they start getting out of line with the scriptures, then it becomes your responsibility to address it. And you address it properly and scripturally, but you address it and see if it can't get straightened out. And I'm not telling anybody to leave their church, but the Bible tells us to come out from amongst them who willfully put other things above God. And so you might want to look at that, let God speak to your heart. We'll do some teaching and preaching on it later on. But right now we're talking about, hey, these are just 10 straightforward, simple commandments. Can we do these? Well, the fact of the matter is, no, we can't. That's why we need Christ. That's why we need Jesus. But we need to, when we see that we have done wrong, we need to confess it and we need to repent of it and we need to ask God to restore us and give us the grace to live it out right. Now, let's go with the third commandment. Exodus 20 and verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless, that taketh his name in vain. Deuteronomy, I'm not going to read it. It says the exact same thing. Now, New Testament, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Matthew 6, verse 9. Also see 1 Timothy 6 and 1. Now, how about Matthew 15, Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, theft, false witnesses, and blasphemies. The definition of blasphemies from Merriam-Webster's dictionary definition, the act of insulting or showing contempt or lack of reverence for God. The act of claiming the attributes of deity. 2, irreverence toward something considered sacred or inviolable. All right, so thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Now, this is deep. This is more than just when people, you know, say that God is damning something and God hasn't. You know, that's one way to take his name in vain. The Hebrews, they felt so reverent to the name of God, they would not even spell it out. English-speaking Hebrews would write G space D. Hebrew-speaking Hebrews would write the consonant sounds for Jehovah, which is why we believe it's Jehovah. We're not sure, because they never wrote it out. And so that's the best we can stand that it would be is Jehovah. But let's take a look at this taking the Lord's name in vain. America was founded, and we call ourselves a Christian nation. Now, some people say we're a post-Christian nation, and we are acting like it. But we take the name of Christ. Christian means little Christ. So we take the name of Christ. I'm with him. Now, it says don't take that in vain. So we say we're Christian, but we don't live like we're Christian. We say we're Christian, but then we hear the word of Christ, and it does not line up to our way of life, and we don't change. See, this is taking the name of the Lord in vain. When we say we're a Christian, but then we say, yeah, but. When we hear the word of the Lord and it disagrees with the way we're acting or the way we want to vote or the way we want to support something or some action we want to do, and the word of the Lord contradicts what we want to do, and we say we're a Christian, but we don't want to do it, we're taking the name of the Lord in vain. So we got 1, 2, 3 commandments, and I'm asking you, how you doing so far? How you doing so far? Now, remember, we don't preach and teach to bring you under condemnation. We preach and teach to put you in front of the Spirit of God and let the Spirit of God teach you, train you, move you, bring you under conviction, and help you to be a better Christian. That's what we're here to do. We're here to make disciples. So don't shoot the messenger, because that's all I am. I'm a messenger. I'm just putting the word of God before you. And I'm telling you, take notes so that you can go back, you can study just to make sure that I'm not just giving you a bunch of hogwash to support myself. I'm trying to give you the word of God so that you can be in the word. All right. Now, fourth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now, again, I'm not going to go back and read, you know, both Exodus and Deuteronomy, because they are pretty close, excuse me, to the same. And they both, you know, give that same commandment. But Deuteronomy over there, you know, Deuteronomy 5, that's 12 through 15, will give you that parallel verse. But over in the New Testament, in this commandment, you know, this is one that is not specifically spelled out in the New Testament, which is why New Testament churches, we worship on Sunday, because the Lord rose on Sunday, because the Lord worshiped on Sunday with us. Now, the Lord also kept the Sabbath. He went to the synagogue and preached and taught on the Sabbath. He did. The Sabbath does not move from Friday, Saturday to Sunday. It doesn't do that. Okay? The Sabbath is Saturday. That's where, you know, that's the seventh. That's the seventh day. It's the Sabbath. Now, let's see what the New Testament tells us. Luke 4:16. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." So you see, as I said, Jesus kept the Sabbath because he was born under the law. However, there is no commandment in the New Testament that tells us that we need to keep the Sabbath as a holy day. Now, I'm going to read this to you here, and then I'm going to go ahead and do a little teach on that. Mark 2:27-28, Hebrews 4:4, and also verse 10, and Acts 17:2 gives us this understanding. "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So, here's the deal. You might worship the Lord on Sunday. You might worship the Lord on Saturday. You know, because maybe you are Pharisaical. Maybe you just under the law. I don't know. But, you know, there's other verses that tells us about, you know, some worship on Sunday, some worship on Friday, some worship on Saturday. The important thing is to worship and give a day for worship. But, see, the Sabbath was not really a day of worship. It's a day of rest. Now, they did go to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and they rested in the Lord, if you will, I imagine. And, you know, they rested from their labors. Some of us are workaholics, and we'll work 7 days a week if we could. Now, some of that is because we're chasing money, because we have let money become an idol. We have let money come above God, and so we'll work through, and we won't give God any time. That's not a good thing. So you won't take time out, give God his, and you want to take time to do your work, because our physical bodies and our emotional minds needs the time off to regenerate. We need to rest. Those of us with families, you need time to be with your family. You need time to be with your spouses. You need time to be with your children. And if you're busy chasing dollars and working way too much, you're not enjoying the goodness of what God's giving you. So, even God took a day off. You need to take a day off. All right. Let's go with verse 12 in Exodus. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God giveth you. Deuteronomy says it just a little different. Verse 16, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God giveth you. Now, how about some New Testament? Matthew 19:19. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. Okay, well, now we're starting to build community. We're starting to build something here. All right, so also look at Ephesians 6 and 1. Ephesians 6 and 1. And that's going to give you some more to that. So, you know, we live in a day that we don't respect our moms. We don't respect our dads. We don't honor them. You know, many dads of kids my age, you know, would tell you, you know, I've got one thing to give you, which is my name. Don't bring shame to my name. Honor my name that I've given you. I'm giving it to you clean. You keep it clean. Honor your father and mother. Respect your father and mother. You know, Mother's Day, you know, honor your mother. Father's Day, honor your father. So many mothers these days, because they call themselves single parents, you know, they don't teach their children to honor their father. That's not cool. That's not cool to turn your children away from their father, and then their sin is on your neck because you did not teach them to honor their father. He might be absent. He might be in jail. He might not be doing right. But guess what? He's their father. You have to teach your children to be godly, especially if they are not in a place of headship under their father. Honor your father and mother, that your days might be long. God does not appreciate it if you don't honor your father and mother. In a lot of countries, if you disrespect your father and mother, they'd take you out and kill you. And then all the other kids will fall in line. We're taking a lot of liberties here in these United States because we don't honor our fathers and mothers. We don't honor our grandparents. We don't honor the elderly like we should. So give honor to father and mother. Okay. Move real quickly. Exodus 20:13, we go to the sixth commandment. You shall not kill. Deuteronomy, same thing, shall not kill. New Testament 19:18. He saith unto them, and this is Jesus preaching the sermon again on the mount. He saith unto him, which, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt commit thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. Okay, we're going to go through those again because, you know, those are coming up. But those are all in Matthew 19, verse 18. Also, Romans 13 and 9 and Revelation 21 and 8 under you shall not murder. Now, Old Testament was translated as thou shalt not kill. Now, in New Testament, as Jesus said it, is translated, thou shalt not commit murder. Now, there is a very big difference, but the word translated kill in Hebrew is a word for murder, kill without a cause. So, we want to understand that it's not saying thou shalt not kill. It's saying thou shalt not kill without a cause. Thou shalt not commit murder. All right, this does not preclude you from being in the military. This does not preclude you from protecting your family. This does not preclude you from, you know, a job that would call for you to take a life in the commission of your job. You know, if you have some kind of job that's in security or, you know, police force, or something like that, thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not kill without a cause. You know, you don't just kill people. You value life. Now, this comes in very important when we start making laws that authorize and legalizes killing. Euthanasia, killing old folks. You know, they're no use for us anymore. We may as well just let them die. We're not going to treat them, or we're going to over-treat them, and we're going to kill them. Of course, abortion. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit murder. Well, if it has a life, and you take the life of the human, that's murder. Now, Supreme Court back in 1973 said, hey, you know what? We are pushing the Bible out because we want to make this political, and we gonna listen to man. We not gonna listen to God. And so they said, hey, it's okay. It's legal. You can kill babies if you want to kill babies. But the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not kill without a cause. Life is valuable. Every life is valuable. Just because you might not want this child, well, you should do stuff to make sure you don't get a child. Now, I'm not going to preach on that a long way or anything like that, because I don't want to bring condemnation. But there is conviction that needs to be had, because we need to address certain issues, and we need to stand for what is right, what is righteous, what is holy. See, that's the thing about, remember when I said back up in verse 2, where thou shalt have no other gods before me? Well, you know, the IRS says you can't preach on political things, or we'll take your 501c3. Well, the IRS is not Lord of my life. The FCC is not Lord of my life. The Lord of my life is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who gave his life for me. That's the one who I will preach. That's the one whose word I will preach. That's the one whose message I will give. That's the one whose word I will stand on. And so I got to give it to you like what thus saith the Lord. Now, I love you. And if you fell for this convenience, you fell for well, it's legal. You fell for somebody giving you a whole lot of grace, and you did this. There is grace. But you need to understand, you need to confess, you need to repent, and you need to clean it up. All right, now let's keep meddling, since we're meddling. Exodus 20:14. You shall not commit adultery. Deuteronomy says, hey, neither shall you commit adultery. Matthew 19:18 again, thou shalt not commit adultery. Also, see Romans 13:9, it'll echo that. And Revelation 21:8, it'll echo that as well. So, we see here, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, again, it helps us if we actually look at the Greek and the Hebrew for this word, and it is adultery, but we're talking sexual impurity here. Having sex with someone who is not your spouse. Because if it's not your spouse, it's someone else's spouse or promised to someone else. And to have sex with them, that is an adulterous act. So if you're not married to them, if you're not in covenant with them, you're committing an adulterous act, because what you're doing is you're taking sex from that person, and they are going to have a spouse. And so you're committing adultery against that spouse that you're going to have. Because, you know, we're supposed to get married. We're supposed to be pure when we get married. So I don't have to be down on thou shalt not commit adultery. We got that one. Next one, verse 15. You shall not steal. Over in Deuteronomy 5, it's verse 19, you shall not steal. Okay, Matthew 19:18, it's in that list. Again, thou shalt not steal. And you'll also see that echoed in Romans 13:9. So what I'm doing here, what I'm showing you here, is we got it in the Old Testament twice. So it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or if you're a Gentile, is in the New Testament at least twice as well. And it's in Jesus' words as well as in others who are quoting, you know, and teaching what Jesus said. So these are not suggestions. These are commandments. This is how God wants us to live. You know, the first four tells us how to get along with God, and the last six tells us how to get along with each other. So thou shalt not steal. You know, if it's not yours, leave it alone. And we're going to get further down on that one to clean that one up. But, you know, if it's somebody else's, you don't take it without permission. You know, that ain't cool. And again, I'm not going to preach on that. You know it ain't cool to steal. You know if it don't belong to you, you shouldn't be taking it. You know if somebody has something that you need or you want, you ask for it. And then maybe they'll share it with you. Maybe they won't. So thou shalt not steal. All right. Now, this one gets you into big trouble right here, especially in this day and time. The ninth commandment in verse 16 of Exodus chapter 20. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Deuteronomy 5 and 20. Neither shall you bear false witness against your neighbor. Matthew 19:18 ends up with, thou shalt not bear false witness. Romans chapter 13 and 9, as well as Revelation 21 and 8, is going to echo that same sentiment. Now, too many times, we spread gossip. Gossip that may be true, maybe it's not true. We don't even check to see if it's true. Fact of the matter is, we shouldn't spread it to start with. But it even gets worse when it's false and we spread it as if it's true. You know, right now, we're in a time of an election. You know, you might be for somebody, you might be against somebody else, you might, you know, be for a certain way and against another way, but there's a whole lot of lying going on and bearing false witness against one candidate or another candidate. You know, one candidate might have some weaknesses, and we lie and say this other candidate has those weaknesses so that the candidate that we like looks better. Or so we don't look at our candidate and their weaknesses, we throw it off and we project it on the other candidate. Now, the candidacies in the election, that's one thing about bearing a false witness. We see something on television and it's a lie, it's bad journalism, and we saw it on television, so we say it, you know, what we saw on television, and we know it's not true. Or we have reason to believe it's not true. Or we don't even check into it to see if it's true or if it's not true. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Don't do it. It's sin. It separates you from God. It separates you from your brother. The old folks used to say, if you got nothing good to say, keep your big mouth shut. Bearing false witness, God takes that personal. And remember, if you fall down on one of these, you've broken them all. And we need to repent. And we're going to take a moment. When we get through, we got one more to go. And we're going to deal with how we're doing. All right? Now, if you was able to take care of 1 through 9, let's get a look at 10. 10 might catch us. 10 might do something for us. 10 might make us go to our knees. Exodus 20, verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, which in this case is a donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Now, Deuteronomy 5 says the same thing. So we got Exodus 20, and then we got Deuteronomy 5, both agreeing. Now, Romans chapter 7 and verse 7 is going to tell it like this. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, there's a bunch of words, and you need to read it to get some understanding, because I kind of messed it up when I read it. But Romans chapter 13 and 9 will tell you, you shall not covet, as well as Romans 7:7, which I kind of messed up as I was reading. So, what is coveting? That is, you see something and you want it. It's not yours, but you want it. You see it, you don't have it. It's somebody else's, you want it. It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, if you didn't covet, then you wouldn't have to commit adultery. You know, because that's your neighbor's wife. So, you know, you're not supposed to look on your neighbor's wife to want your neighbor's wife. This is your neighbor's. You know, so many of us, we look over and we see that this one's doing much better than us, or it looks like this one's doing better than us. They got a bigger car. They got a bigger house. They got better children. They got, you know, a nice yard. They got a big bank account, what it looks like they do. And we want what they have. You need to be content with what God has blessed you with. And you need to work harder and get your harvest to where it needs to get harvest. You need to plant seeds for the harvest you desire. You don't just look over at somebody else's harvest and covet their harvest. No. If you want a good harvest, and there's nothing wrong with wanting a good harvest, plant the seeds to get a good harvest. And then you may be blessed with a good harvest. For what you sow, you shall reap. So, our Bible tells us in Matthew 5:17, again, think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, this is the Lord telling us that he came to fulfill the law. And he came to show us that it can be done, how it is to be done, and that it should be done. And he tells us that, again, if we've sinned against one of them, if we've broken one, we've broken them all. And so we need the grace of God. We need the blood of God. Somebody has to pay for the sin. You can't pay for the sin. You do not have what it takes to pay the price for your sin. For the wages of sin is death. And there's judgment for sin. Now, when we die and go for judgment, what we want is we want to be able to pay the debt. We want to be able to pay the sentence. We want to be able to pay the bail. We want to be able to, however you want to use the metaphor. But we don't want to go to hell. We don't. We don't want to be separated from the love of God. So what we have to do is we have to accept the blood of Jesus, his sacrifice, his atonement for our sin. His blood covers our sin. And we need to accept that. We need to accept that, one, we have not lived up to the Ten Commandments. Two, we have failed at one point or another in those Ten Commandments. So we have to agree with God that we failed in the Ten Commandments. And we have to agree with him that it is wrong and it has hurt our relationship with him. And it has hurt our relationship with our brothers and our sisters. So we need to repent, which is turn from those wicked ways. We need to turn away from our idolatry. We need to turn away from coveting. We need to turn away from bearing false witness. Whatever that sin might be that so easily beset us, we need to turn our backs on the sin and go back in the direction of seeking the Lord's face. So when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and heal us of all unrighteousness. God is a good God, and he will restore us to righteousness if we will confess our sin And in order to do that, we have to humble ourselves first. And we confess our sin. And then he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then when the devil tries to point out our sin and tries to make us think that we are no good and we are not good enough for the Lord, then we could say, you know what? I've confessed it. That's under the blood. Devil, talk to Jesus about that. You go be accuse me in front of Jesus and see what he says. And you're covered. So you don't have to walk around guilty. You don't have to walk around depressed. You don't have to walk around outside of the relationship of God. If you've been outside of the relationship, if you've been messing up on these commandments, if you've been messing up and outside of the will of God, you can return. You can come back to him. You can know him even today. Let me pray with you. Let me pray for you. And I want you to give God what belongs to God. He paid a price for your soul. He paid a price for your life. Let him come in. Let him live through you. Let him make you all that you should be. And from today, live a life on purpose, a life of purpose. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you gave us these commandments in order that we know how to live. You gave them to us because we needed them, because without them, we would go astray. We understand that you gave them two times because once they were broken and it was so important that you would give them again, a second time. And then you sent Jesus. Because we could not live it, we needed the blood sacrifice, we needed a Savior, and you sent them to die, and not only to die, but to live a sinless life, so he could pay the price for our sin. He took our sins upon him. He was beaten, he was bruised, and indeed died for our sin. And he rose the next day, the third day. And if he rose the third day, he is able to bring us up out of the ground on that great and final day and bring resurrection, salvation to our soul. And not only salvation for the time of our death, the time of your second coming, but salvation as we live this life. For as Paul said, I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. Glory to God. Now, Father, to whomever might be listening to my voice and listening to the still small voice inside of them that says to them that they need to repent and come back to you right now. Maybe they're backslidden, maybe they're prodigal, but Father, in hearing your word, you have pricked their heart and you have let them know that they have not lived the way they should live. They have fallen short of the mark and they want to come back to you. Maybe they have been lukewarm and they have not been on fire for you. Maybe they have just been doing the bare minimums just because somebody told them that once saved, always saved. And they said a little prayer, they did a little walk, and they got hands laid on them, and so they were saved. And so then they went on to live their life. Father, maybe they're out there listening, and you're bringing them back to you right now. Father, I pray for them that they would have heard the word and that they will say the prayer and that they will invite you back in the fullness of your spirit and that you will guide them in all truth. And that you will receive the rededication unto you this very moment in Jesus' name. Now, Father, to them that might have stumbled upon this message, that does not know you, that never knew you, that would like to know you, they are lost right now, and they are looking for the answer. And, Father, you are the answer. And no man can come unto the Father but through the Son. And so, Father, right now, if they're listening to me and they're trying to come to you, they have heard that they can have a personal relationship with you and they want that, Father, let them invite you in right now. Father, let them hear these words, and Father, let them accept these words and invite you in Jesus' holy name. Now, Father, you said, behold, through Jesus, you said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man shall hear my voice and shall open the door, I will come in, me and my Father also, and we will sup with them. Father, knock on the doors of their heart and encourage them to let you in this very moment. Father, let the backslidden come back to you. Let souls be saved. Let the kingdom be enlarged. Now, Father, for everyone under the sound of my voice, I pray that you come and the Spirit as well, and you be full in your Spirit in them in Jesus' name. Let your Spirit fall upon them. Let your Spirit be big in them, and let them be cleansed and renewed to newness of life in Jesus' name. Now, Father, if they're hearing it, and if they are coming to you or coming back to you, let them confess it to somebody. Father, if they have just been born again, let them find a fellowship of believers where they can be discipled, where they can grow, and where they can be developed in you in Jesus' name. And until they're able to do that, let them stay with us and let us be able to teach them and train them and be their fellowship in Jesus' name. Hey, if you have rededicated your life, if you come back to the Lord, if you have come to the Lord for the first time, I want to know about it. Please send me a message, docfensel@facebook.com, and let me know. If somebody forwarded this video to you, then let them know, hey, I did it. I did it. I got Jesus. Or ask them to lead you to Jesus. If maybe I went by it too fast, maybe you want to be sure, ask them to lead you. Now, I thank you. And I want to say God bless. And thank y'all for listening. And we are doing big things. We love you. We're trying to expand the ministry. We want to be the kind of church without walls that you can feel welcome to come to grow in, to be exposed, but you're going to be safe knowing that I love you, God loves you, and we want the best for you. We're not here to humiliate you. We're not here to condemn you. We're not here to make you look bad. We're here to give you the word of God, put you into the face of God, and let you have a conversation with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords so that he might bring restoration to your heart. God bless you. We love you. We want you to love each other and to love yourself. Bye-bye.